On tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about the anthology film Watch If You Dare. Released in 2018, it was a collection of disturbing short horror films. Stay tuned, and we'll give you the details after this. All right, thank you for joining us for another episode of Captain Groovy and the Final Girl. The captain is flying solo again today. The Final Girl will be joining us shortly for another different episode. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you know me personally, you know how much I love anthology films. Ever since I was a kid, I was fascinated about all, just basically how one film can have like four little short stories, five, depending on which film it was. One of my favorite films growing up was Creepshow, Creepshow 2, you know, Tales from the Dark Side, you know, the movie, Twilight Zone, the movie. You know, nowadays there's a lot of controversy about that film, but when I was a kid, I thought it was, you know, cutting edge. So I grew up watching a lot of these anthology films in the 80s, which is carried over, you know, till today. I mean, it's, you see a little bit more anthology films, you know, being made, but the quality of the films tend to suffer sometimes just because there's just not a lot of continuity. They don't have a structure. At least with Creepshow, it was, you know, obviously based on the old EC comics out there, which, you know, basically was Tales from the Crypt, you know, kind of deal. For those of you guys, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys all know that Tales from the Dark Side, you know, the movie was basically Creepshow 3, but they couldn't get the rights to it, so they just, you know, went ahead and went a different direction. And even when Creepshow 3 came out, oh my god, that was just a horror. I mean, that was just a horrible film. So I just have to say that was probably one of the most horrible anthology films that I've watched up until today. So I ended up watching Watch If You Dare on Tubi TV. If you guys aren't familiar with Tubi, you can download that for your tablet or your smartphone. Happens to have a lot of, you know, free movies. There's a lot of not so great films on there. There's some good films, you know, and it's not just horror films. It's just, you know, a lot of films there. I tend to gravitate, obviously, to the horror films. So when I saw that this was a fairly recent anthology film, and obviously, you know, the name Watch If You Dare. Yeah, I dare to watch it. It was a dare that I took. And with dares, sometimes they just don't pan out. So in this little cluster of films, they had a couple of short films. One of them was called The Stylist. The other one was called Ink. They had one called Foodies. And they had one called The Knob Goblins. So the first one, obviously, that it starts out with the Stylist. It starts off at a salon where, you know, they show that a stylist is kind of, it's kind of like towards the end of the day, and she's still waiting for another customer to come in. So her coworker's like, all right, I can't wait here, you know, longer. So she ends up, you know, leaving. Finally, her customer comes in. So it kind of starts off, you know, typical, where the stylist is sitting there and talking to their, you know, their client, you know, and just going through the meaningless, you know, banter, you know, how's your day, you know, and the lady starts telling her that, you know, she's kind of in a hurry, that she can't stick around for much longer because she's going to this party. And the stylist, you know, offers her, you know, as well, do you have time for wine? And, you know, obviously, who can say no to wine? So she offers her wine, and then all of a sudden you see her kind of starting to get a little drowsy, then she passes out. It's a horror film, so you know something's gonna, you know, there is a reason for it. The stylist begins to tie her client onto the beauty chair, and you're wondering, okay, what is she going to do? As she's passed out, the stylist basically is just cutting around and just, you know, ripping, I mean, not just ripping the hair, but just ripping the scalp off. Finally, the client comes to for a while and sees that it's all gone. Her hair, her scalp, she's screaming, and the stylist just ends up, you know, basically killing her. And then it cuts to where she goes home. You see her where she pulls out the scalp and the hair, and then she puts it on. She's looking in the mirror. She's, you know, living alone with a cat, and just kind of, you know, repeating what the customer was telling, you know, was telling her, like, you know, like little, like, oh, you know, when you're a woman, you hit the glass ceiling, and just all the stuff. And it ends. I just want to say it looked good. You know, the coloring, you know, the lighting was fine. The issue that I had here was the writing, because first of all, there was really no reason why they didn't give you a reason why the stylist was scalping her. Didn't give reason why she targeted this one client to do so. And three, yeah, she goes back to her apartment and there's still really no big reveal on why. I mean, it would have been, I mean, at least for me, if you're going to miss out on the, I mean, if you're going to miss on the why she's doing this or why she targeted, at least show us why she's doing it. For me, it would have been interesting if she had maybe a bunch of the styrofoam or plastic, you know, mannequin heads with all the different, you know, scalps of the different people that she's, you know, like killed, kind of like a trophy. Or it would have been interesting if, like, she was bald and she had some vendetta against people that had long hair. But there is really no reason why she needed to scalp these, you know, this woman, you know. And it's like, is this the first one? Is this her fifth one? Why? So, I mean, to me, it just was a big old question mark on what was going on. So I just felt lost after watching it. And yeah, you know, I could have turned it off, but I'm the type of person that's like, okay, once I'm going to start this film, I'm just going to see if it gets any better, if it gets any worse, because obviously time, money has been put in this movie. You can say I've wasted my time watching this movie, but I couldn't do an episode if I didn't watch it. You know, I'd always be wondering, oh, is this any good? You know, in ratings, you know, I mean, you can say, oh, I looked at the ratings and, you know, IMDb rated it as 3.8. Yeah, you know what? I've seen movies that are rated like 2.7 that was like, you know, that wasn't too bad. That would have given it like a 4.7 or something, you know, out of 10, obviously. So as stories goes, I'd give it a 1. The way it looked, I'd give it a 3.5. All right, so the next short film that they ended up showing, it was called Ink. I wasn't sure where this was shot because it kind of had a little kind of European feel to it. You know, maybe Scottish or maybe British or something. But I didn't see any definite answers that, you know, made, it was just a feel from the movie, the way it was made, that made me think that. So basically, the movie opens up with a man, you know, he's walking around the streets kind of by himself. He's, you know, kind of got a limp going on. He kind of looks like he's possibly homeless. Then you kind of, you know, follow him into his home. He goes into an apartment. And then, it just for no reason, you see him just starting cutting a circular pattern off the left side of his chest in a circular, you know, motion. And he's starting to peel off that skin. That's supposed to give you that shock, you know, like, okay, you got my attention. What's going on here? So you see him, he unfolds this newspaper and he's got a patch of skin basically in the same shape, but it's got a tattoo under. So I'm already thinking, all right, and predicted on what was going to happen. So he's sitting there and he actually starts to sew that patch onto his chest. So, you know, whoever did the special effects, it's like, I don't know if they sat there and they're like, oh, wouldn't this be cool? We can show it, you know, how gory it is that we rip out this, you know, patch of skin off of him and let's show him, you know, like the pain that he's, you know, doing to, you know, sew this on there. So he's, you know, stitching this up in there and for no rhyme or reason. And then they cut to the next day. So you see him walking around. Again, he's looking like he's a homeless guy, but obviously he's living in an apartment. And he stops at this tattoo parlor, and I'm thinking, okay, why doesn't this guy just get a freaking tattoo? If he's going to go through all that pain and hassle, just get a fucking tattoo. So what ended up happening is, no reason why, no backstory, someone from the tattoo parlor, you know, comes out and scares him off, you know, tells him like, you know, you're not supposed to be here, you know, get out of here, you know, kind of, you know, runs him off. He's, you know, he's limping around. And then he's going, and then he goes home and he's sitting there and he's just, you know, like laying on his bed, you know, reading a newspaper. You see, You know, he's just sitting there in his underwear. You know, obviously he's got, you know, bandage on his chest and his leg, you know, his upper thighs, you know, basically all, you know, wrapped up and bandaged. Then he starts to peel off the bandage, and you see that he's basically done the same thing that he did on his chest onto his leg. He cut off a, you know, patch of a someone's, you know, tatted up leg, and he, you know, stitched it up, you know, at home. But now this time it's all infected. It's all, you know, pussy, you know, and it's just all gross. You know, again, you know, as a filmmaker, I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, so are they, the reason why did you make this film just to sit there and go, how gross can we make it, but not really care about what the story is? Because there is still no rhyme or reason why this guy's, you know, doing this. You know, and like I said, if he's going to go through all that pain, just get a freaking tattoo, you know? And then all of a sudden, I don't know why. I mean, because heck, I mean, you're going to laugh at me, but I did watch this twice. So the reason why I watched it twice is to see, what did I miss? Did I miss something? You know, was I like looking around and then I missed it? So still, I mean, there is no reason why all of a sudden he starts cutting out a patch on his abdomen. Then you hear sirens going, and then all of a sudden it's like you realize the cops are coming for him. Still, you don't know why they're coming for him. You don't know if they, you know, found dead bodies. You don't know if people said, hey, well, I was attacked and this guy cut the skin off of me. Then there's no explanation on why. I mean, and to me, I can tell this, you know, that the director, I mean, I'm only guessing. I can only speculate about this. But they probably thought this was like the coolest scene. And I really thought it was just a pile of shit. Where the cops come in, he's, you know, he's already ripped off these, you know, patches that he's put on him. And he's still, and he's holding the one patch in his hand, and he's just bleeding, and he's just kind of like screaming like, ah! End of that short little film. I know I gave the previous short film, was it a 3.5 on the look and the way, you know, like the lighting and stuff like that. This one here, and I have to give it a 2. It seemed like it was on a lower budget. The writing, again, it's got to be a 1, because, again, I felt that there is no explanation on why this guy was doing it. There's no sympathy on, you know, after him getting caught. And I've, at the end, it's like, you know, even if he was a criminal, I really didn't give a shit whether they caught him, shot him, or whatever. So to me, it's kind of like, it was just kind of like a waste. So, again, they struck out on the second film. All right, now they had a third film, and it was called Foodies. So, obviously, the acting was pretty over top. The one lead guy, I was kind of annoyed by him. And that's the problem sometimes when people are doing casting. I think if you want, you know, because obviously this guy's going to be the victim. So if you want the viewers to have sympathy, you really have to have a likable person. Because if you don't really care about the person, you really don't care what happens to him in the film, his character. You know, it's like, well, whatever. So basically, so it's called Foodies. So he works at a restaurant, and he's very close with the chef of the restaurant. The whole purpose of this film ends up being that they're going to go to this whole kind of like a secret pop-up food event that's called like Kitchen X. And they go around, and it's only the exclusive people that can be there. So the one thing I did like about it was the fact that indirectly make fun of you know, the people that sit there and, you know, love to take, you know, pictures when they're at these exquisite events, you know, like, ooh, look at this, you know, I'm a socialite and I'm having these, you know, appetizers or this food here, you know, it's where basically it seems more like it's about the mystique of where they're at versus in, you know, actual having food because you enjoy it, you know, the taste and the, you know, different ingredients, you know, to it. It's just more of kind of like a status. So that part I can kind of, you know, I was watching this. I was like, okay, that's kind of funny. So basically, some of the commercials that they showed on the TV just to introduce, you know, the character, because at least they tried to, in a subtle way, introduce some of the people that were going to be at this event. Like they had this, it was like a winery, you know, where they kind of had this whole S&M thing going on where it's more of a dominatrix kind of thing going on. they show the lady, you know, saying, you know, you can't be drinking corporate wines. And she, you know, he got in trouble and he's got the, you know, ball in his mouth. And he's like, you know, mention this ad and you get 30% off, you know, of your wine when you visit, you know, little humors, you know, here and there. But still, you know, when they show the main character, which his name was Mueller. And I mean, it was kind of like, really? I don't know. When I'm watching a horror film, it's like, okay, sometimes when they try and make references to other films, if they try too hard, it just kind of falls flat on its face. But with this reference, it was kind of like, what does that have to do with a horror film? So he wasn't paying attention to the person he was talking to on the phone. And all of a sudden she's like, Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. It's like, so he shows up with this, so he meets up with his chef friend and he, you know, so he's obviously like, oh, I'm going to bring this wine. He's like, don't bring the wine because the people from the, you know, the wine dungeon are going to be there. And he's like, oh my God, you know, I've seen their commercials all the time. You know, he's just being a total fanboy. So they go there and he starts, you know, meeting all these other, oddball chef characters and stuff like that. So they're all sitting down, getting ready for the first course, because it was a several course meal. He's drinking his wine. They're all, you know, doing the, you know, typical chit chat. You know, they have the food blogger that's in there going, oh, I wish I can take pictures of this, you know, for my blog, you know, and, you know, the chef's looking at her and said, that was one rule, no pictures, you know, and she's like, well, I'm just saying, I wish. And it's kind of like, okay, just the writing was just really cheesy. So Mueller, the character that I really didn't care for, he's drinking, he's having fun. All of a sudden, he's starting to feel drowsy, and they're like, you know, hey, man, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Does the wine hit you hard? And he passes out, falls on the floor. Cut scene. He's in a tub full of ice. Looks like he's naked, and he's bleeding. His friend is next to him, talking to him, and he's like, why am I so cold? You know, it's like, then he looks down, and he sees that he's bleeding. And he's like, why am I on ice? Basically, he's the main course. Still no explanation, you know, on who these people are, why they're doing it. Obviously, it's just a group of cannibals that go and, you know, do this whole Kitchen X, you know, kind of deal. I mean, the guy, I mean, was so annoying. I mean, if he was a likable character, I probably would feel sorry for him. But, you know, it's a movie. I was like, so why should I care? You know, so basically he tries to escape. You know, he kills his chef friend. He ends up offing two more people. And it's like, he's going to try and make the run for it. And before he takes off, he finds out that his girlfriend was actually in on all this. And she's the one that set him up to get, you know, basically, you know, eaten. And that was the, you know, end of the movie. Again, I think the writing was crap. So I'd give it a 1 star for, you know, just the coloring, the lighting, the overall look. I would probably give it, you know, maybe a 3.5. You know, I mean, it looks like they shot on a really good camera. Whoever did the coloring did a good job. And again, but I do have to give it credit for one thing, though. I did like, at the end, they had this one shot where, and they did it intentionally. But I don't know why they did it, but it's still kind of cool. So the guy is in the background. He's laying there dead. And then in the foreground, all of a sudden, you see a little daddy long legs just kind of like walking across, you know, the floor for no reason. You know, and you look at the credits and it's like, you know, spider wrangler. So it's like either they planned it or they saw spiders like, hey, wouldn't this be funny? You know, I was like, yeah, that was probably the most, that's probably the one thing that I took away from it, saying, you know, that was all right. Now the last and final story, it was called Knob Goblins. Again, it just starts off with a guy just kind of sitting outside of a, you know, of a house, you know, kind of like, well, I mean, not a typical house, but it was kind of like, you know, in a secluded area, kind of looked like it could have been a barn or something like that, or a detached, you know, garage. And all of a sudden a guy, a security guard, comes in with another guy in tow, and he's handcuffed. And then it's not until like halfway through the film you realize that, you know, that the guy that was waiting on him was actually the psychiatrist of the guy that was handcuffed. So what they do is, you know, they put the guy into this room, you know, which I guess is like the garage, and they're going to give him 10 minutes. So they kind of do a little, you know, like the narration where you know, the voiceover where the guy's explaining that the reason why they're putting him in there is because it's part of his rehab. I guess he had a mental breakdown because apparently he was babysitting his brother when he was younger, and his brother went missing. And when he went to go look for his brother, he found his brother in the basement dead. I guess he ended up, you know, bleeding to death, and somebody ended up cutting off his genitalia. So his parents happened to be, you know, really ultra conservative, religious, that they said that masturbation was like the ultimate sin, and that the knob goblin would come and get you if you masturbated way too much. So in his mind, he grew up just thinking that, and especially after he found his brother dead, you know, missing his penis, he could never recover. So as he went through therapy all these years, this was supposedly the final step, that they wanted to take him here and show him that there's no such thing as, you know, a penis cutting demon. Like all horror movies, they try and tell you that the boogeyman doesn't exist, the devil don't exist, monsters don't exist, but guess what? In these films, they do exist. He happens to be there, something comes out, cuts his genitalia off, and he bleeds to death. So the three guys that are sitting outside, a guy that's just wearing a shirt that says security, the doctor guy who's just happens to wear a sweater vest, you know, underneath, you know, a button-up shirt, and another guy that's dressed like Snake Plissken for some reason. Seriously, he's got an eye patch, leather jacket, and the camo pants. Literally, he's dressed like Snake Plissken. They look at their watch, are like, oh, 10 minutes is up, let's go check on him. So they go and check up on him. Obviously, he's dead, he's bled out, missing his penis. So the snake guy, Snake Plissken looking dude, turns to them and he looks at him and goes, I'm still getting paid for this, right? That's the end. That's the end of that story. And to be funny is because I was sitting there thinking, like, this guy is like a, you know, like a great value version of Snake Plissken. Yeah, in the credits, his name was Snake. So that was very, very intentional. Again, with this film, you know, I thought visually it looked well. Again, writing wise, I'd probably have to give it maybe a two, a little bit higher, because it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of funny. They were kind of poking fun of themselves. You know, they didn't try and take it too serious. But at least, you know, kind of like at first you didn't know what was going on, but kind of like in the middle of the short, you know, they explained, you know, the reason, you know, why they're doing this. You know, unlike the other three shorts, really didn't explain why the characters were doing it. It was just kind of like, hey, let's just make a movie and let's just do this. Or, you know, it was just basically they had little ideas and they just wrote around this, you know, or just spots or scenes. This one here, it seems like they at least they tried, you know. I mean, yeah, the name was kind of hokey, you know, Knob Goblin. I think overall, out of the four tales, this one, you know, was able to kind of pull it off at the end. So I guess it was nice to see it, I guess, at the end. It was shorter than the others, but I felt it was kind of more to, it was a more complete short than all the others. And unfortunately, I mean, like I said, I'm a huge fan of anthology films, and I'm still going to, you know, even if it looks crappy, I'm still probably going to watch it because I like anthology films, and it's better than watching a whole like hour and 15 minutes of garbage. At least they're little shorts, and sometimes they could be redeeming, you know, in one of them. Overall, I think I'd give the movie a 2 out of 10. I know IMDb rated it like I think 3.8 or something like that out of 10. But yeah, that was my thoughts. You know, and as a filmmaker, it's like, you know, you sit there and you try not to nitpick it, but it's kind of like, well, what, you know, it's like obviously whatever your story you were trying to tell, it just didn't come off. But I got to give them kudos. They got the movie made. It got released, you know, a lot of people saw it. So, but yeah, there you go. So after this review, if you want to watch if you dare, by all means, go for it. You know, let me know if you liked it or if you agree with me. Maybe you liked one of the other shorts, or maybe you hated them all. I don't know. Just, you know, hit me up and let me know. That's going to be the end of the episode. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. And remember, if you're not following us on Facebook, look for us on Facebook. Give us, you know, your opinions of films that maybe you think we might enjoy, we want to watch it, and maybe give a review, whether it's new or old or, like I said, anthology or whatever. And remember, stay groovy.